The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Statman, with you on this Friday, 14th day of December, 2018. Talking about a story that Aswin Suzbang wrote. Not making it up. But that's where I left off. If you're a diehard libertarian or conservative activist, chances are decent that you're gung-ho for scrapping the Federal Reserve entirely, or at least giving its employees a harder time. End the Fed is a popular refrain at libertarian summits. The Federal Reserve Transparency Act of 2015, sponsored by libertarian senator and long-shot Republican presidential contender Rand Paul, would require a full audit of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System and the Federal Reserve Banks. But for a smaller subset of anti-Fed enthusiasts, the Fed isn't just something to be scrutinized or shuttered. It is a tool of the cabal of bloodlusting, warmongering, totalitarian bureaucrats who have helped shape the degradation of the 20th and the 21st century. Yeah, I go along with that. And if you buy into that theory, he writes, you have one book in particular to thank. One of the most influential and popular documents pushing this tale is the 1994 600-page The Creature from Jekyll Island, written by author and avid conspiracy theorist G. Edward Griffin. And by the way, you can read the entire book if you so desire by going to republicbroadcasting.org, because there's a link there you can read the entire text. Thank you for that bonus. Building off decades-old theories on the Fed's creation and its complicity in atrocity, financial and otherwise, the book soon enough took off as a bestseller. It recounts a secret meeting that took place in 1910 on Jekyll Island, a stretch of white sand beaches and beautiful landscape off the coast of Georgia. It was an exclusive boys club gathering of American financiers and politicians who wanted to shoot the stuff, it's not the term that he used, on monetary policy. The meeting spawned the draft legislation for the creation of the central bank. Griffin spins this trip to Jekyll Island as the birthplace of the nefarious, scariest, all-powerful banking system that every decent American should want torn down immediately. The whole thing reads like a thriller as well as an amateur polemic. The Fed has become an accomplice in the support of totalitarian regimes throughout the world, he writes. As stated at the beginning of the study, that is one of the reasons it should be abolished. It's an instrument of totalitarianism. Ron Paul, libertarian rock star, godfather of the Tea Party movement, blurbed and praised the book, quoting him, "a superb analysis deserving serious attention by all Americans." Rand's dad wrote, quoting again, "be prepared for one heck of a journey through time and mind." Now, back when hipster clothing salesman Glenn Beck had a show on Fox News, he hosted Griffin in one of his Friday episodes and highly recommended the fascinating book to the audience. And on the issue of Glenn Beck, he did some pretty heady stuff that you'll never again hear uttered on Fox News. There were few historians who would challenge the fact that the funding of World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, was accomplished by a mandrake mechanism through the Federal Reserve System, Griffin writes. an overview of all wars since the establishment of the Bank of England in 1694 suggests that most of them would have been greatly reduced in severity, or perhaps not even fought at all, without fiat money. It's the ability of the governments to acquire money without direct taxation that makes modern warfare possible. And a central bank has become the preferred method of accomplishing that. Any disagreement here? The Creature from Jekyll Island is marketed as the most important book on world affairs that you will ever read. And if everything it alleges regarding the international money cabal were true, it truly would be. Alas, the writer writes, we theorize a strategy dubbed the Rothschild formula, in which the world's money cabal deliberately encourages war as a means of stimulating the profitable production of armaments and of keeping nations perpetually in debt, Griffin warns. This is not profit-seeking, it's genocide. And it's not a trivial matter, therefore, to inquire into the possibility that our elected and non-elected leaders are, in fact, implementing the Rothschild formula today. The fatal flaw, the writer writes, in Griffin's analysis and breathless fear-mongering is, as in the case with so many prevalent conspiracy theories, that it takes a grain of truth and turns it into a salt mine of utterly laughable BS. And he uses the whole term. The meeting happened. There was a meeting at Jekyll Island, and it did play a formative role, but the problem with stories like this is that they try to reduce it to a single incident. Author and Reason magazine editor Jesse Walker told The Beast, Griffin is at the point where you can reduce things too much to a certain narrative where the mustache twirlers are behind everything. Well, sorry, Jesse, you're flat dead wrong on this one. Walker, who is also an expert on the grand tradition of the American conspiracy theory, has observed if you go to a movement like Audit the Fed or End the Fed, you'll see people citing that book there. And I think I've seen it cited more so than any other anti-Fed conspiracy book. There are reasonable reasons to want the Fed to be more transparent, he continued, but as with any movement, there are people who will look for conspiracy instead. As for labeling his work a conspiracy theory, Griffin would most certainly and most strongly object. Quoting Ed again, there is nothing about my work that merits being classified as a conspiracy theory. In modern context, it is customary to associate the phrase conspiracy theory with those who are intellectually handicapped or ill-informed. Using emotionally loaded words and phrases to discredit the work of others is to be rejected. And then a writer finishes up his story. Yes, ad hominem attacks on anyone's written work should be rejected, as should the shadowy money junta of economy crashers, democracy subverters, and war profiteers. If only such a fascinating global power actually existed, just so it could be torn down. Well, thank you very much, Aswin Subsang. Now, the reason why I question the story and the reason why it was written is because, well, The Creature from Jekyll Island, as stated, was a book written back in 1994, and God knows I ordered cases of that, and I'd pass it out to television reporters and newspaper writers and tell them that you absolutely have to read this book. You have to understand the monetary system. And at the time, I think the book was only $20. I think it's still only $20 for a paperback copy, but it's 600 pages. 600 pages long. This is not light reading. But many of the people that I gave this book to received it and told me that, yes, I will read it. This has been happening hundreds of thousands of times. I don't even know how many books have been put in print, The Creature from Jekyll Island, A Second Look at the Federal Reserve. But folks, to have this guy write this story about that book, I had to almost for a moment consider that maybe this wasn't designed to be a hit piece. Maybe it was designed to keep the story alive and get it in front of other people who maybe would not be interested in it, but now maybe their interest is piqued. And seeing how he's held down the cost of the book, it's available to damn near everybody. So Aswin Subsang, thank you very much. Hit piece or promotion? Question mark. You decide. Amazing. There is a little thing going on in Austin. Oh, by the way, before I forget here, I mentioned when I had Ted Pelkey on that, and Dan, the daytime board op, told me this story. He lived right across the street from this artist in Austin. And his artwork, he says, you know, he did some good stuff, some of the stuff I didn't really care for, but, you know, the guy was an artist. He didn't have much room, so he had to do his work out in his front yard, and people would go by, and they'd talk with him and look at his art. And it was, if you know Austin, folks, here is the byline for Austin. Keep Austin weird. That's their unofficially adopted moniker for the city of Austin. But at any rate, this guy experiencing the same problem from the bureaucrats, you know, he's just trying to ply his trade and his creativity. And the city didn't like him making his pieces of art on his front lawn. They just didn't like it. So they had harassed the guy, threatened him with fine, punishment, possibly jail time. So that's when the guy came up with the idea of going out, getting I think Dan said it was a 30-foot flagpole. And he made a giant bear's head. And instead of fur, he used carpet. And decided that, well, I'm going to take this a step further. He stuffed the entire thing with raw meat. Ran it up the flagpole. And it was up there the entire summer. Now, if you've ever been in Texas, folks, I've said of Texas that this is the first place I've ever been. You know, you hear the saying, well, it's hot enough you could fry an egg on the sidewalk. Yeah, from the residual heat at 2 o'clock in the morning. So you could just imagine how this thing, it was just stench, rotting flesh. Dan told me, he said, even the carpet started to fall apart and fall on the ground. And he said, you know what? The neighbors around there, they just smiled and put up with it because they were in support of him. So I think if the people of Austin could put up with a little smelly display, the people in Vermont can take full advantage and appreciate the art of the flying middle finger. Jerry in Chicago, which you're not in Chicago anymore. You're up in Minnesota or some damn place, ain't you?
No, I've been off since the 21st of October.
Oh.
I injured my knee. Hopefully I'll get back to work right after the first of the year.
Cool. Well, I mean, so, good that you... Not cool that you got a bad knee, but cool that you're on the mend.
I'm doing pretty good. I've come along a long way, so I'm happy with my progress, and I see the doctor this coming Thursday. So, hey, since it's open lines Friday, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. How's Ron McDonald doing?
Hell if I know.
You don't talk to him?
Steve Elkins... They became friends when he was out in California, and Steve was the one that would stay in contact with him, and he did the program with us, and you recognize, I mean, this is why Steve Elkins is here now, because of Ron's absence, but he's tried to stay in touch with him, and Ron is not real responsive, and we don't know why. Now, we know we've got the complete medical history of what happened to Ron and this, that, and the other, and we gave him plenty of time, but, you know, here it is, December of 2018, and this happened, what was it, Mike, back in February of this year? It's been quite a while. He's not dead. He's still alive and kicking, but not offered any reason why he's not back on the program. We don't know, and Steve doesn't know.
He doesn't return calls or phones?
No. Steve just had to write him a letter, and he's gotten no response back from him.
No.
Okay.
Hey, I wanted to ask you a question about a book. Why a Bankrupt America, and it's written by D.V. Kidd.
Mm-hmm.
It's only 36 pages long, and it gets right to the point of the Federal Reserve.
Yep.
You've read it?
Yes.
Okay. What did you think of it?
Oh, gosh, it's been so long ago. It's light and fast reading. But I thought it was good. She had the right idea with making something that was poignant, easy to read and absorb. and get the information. I thought it was a damn good idea.
Well, yeah, and her price is not that expensive. I mean, if I was almost thinking maybe buy 100 of these books and pass them out to school teachers, because I do a lot of work in the schools.
Well, that's if they can get it past the school censors, and we don't know if they're politically correct enough, even if you did get the ear of a teacher, whether they would have the timidity or the courage to go against the grain.
Well, you know, Johnny, it's funny you mention that. The older teachers, and when I say older, I mean teachers that are in their early 60s and haven't retired yet, or haven't been fed up with the crap that goes on in the schools and the disrespect of the students and everything else like that, if you could still find them. But there are some teachers you can catch their ear, and they're disgusted with it. Yeah, because I talk to history teachers quite a bit when I'm in the buildings, and I says, how do you feel about teaching false history? And they you could see it in their eye when they look at you. So they're like, uh-oh, I got one that can see.
Uh-huh.
You know, but they can't go into detail or anything. Listen, I teach the curriculum that's put in front of me, and that's all there is to it. And I says, well, I was taught that, you were taught that, and we were graded on that, and that's about it. And basically, we were fed a lie. How do you feel about that? And these guys just, you know, they shake their head, and, well, you know what, it's a job. Yeah. And I got to agree with them. We it's funny, the things we do to keep a roof over our head and meals on our plate.
Well, it is a job, but molding the minds of mush is a very important job that shouldn't be adulterated by political slant or agenda.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, if I don't get in touch with you before Christmas, I hope you have a very Merry Christmas and everybody on your staff.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm going to be spending Christmas with Vinny this year. Vin Finelli.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So you going down to St. Louis then, or Missouri?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I try to miss St. Louis.
Yeah. Oh, no. Hey, I don't blame you there.
Yeah.
So, well, have a good time and say hello to Vince for me.
I will certainly do. Thanks, Jerry. I appreciate your call.
Yep.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Art, you're up next. Hello, Art.
Hey, John.
Hey.
Two things. First of all, the conversation earlier, that was rich. I was loving that. But, you know, when it comes to property, people, let's get this through our thick skulls once and for all. You don't own your property. And there are two ways to know this for certain. One, if you did own it, you wouldn't have to pay property taxes, although property taxes are lawful and do fall within the state constitutions. But the second way you know you don't own it is, can you do anything on your property without getting a permit? If you have to get a permit, you don't own the property. You simply lease it, and you're asking permission.
Well, and how are you described? You're a tenant of the property.
Yep.
And you may own the house outright. You might have bought the property, don't own one thin dime on it. But it's interesting, if you're in that system, yeah, the state corporatized system, yeah, yeah, property taxes are legal. But you know what's not really made available, and especially the information made to the public, about a lodeal title, of which, you know what, you don't have to pay any property taxes, because that declares you bought the property, there's no liens on it, you own it outright, keep your hands off my itty-bitty.
Allodial and land patents are the way to go, although it's extremely difficult to accomplish either one. But anyway, you know, I've been sitting here thinking about this all day as I've been listening to, you mentioned Glenn Beck, and I do listen to Glenn Beck because I do enjoy listening to Glenn Beck. Odd as that sounds, I actually do enjoy listening to it.
Well, yeah, but he went through a stretch here, Art, that he was confused as to what direction he was going to take. And it was almost comical sometimes to listen to his show. Hold on a second. I've got a break I've got to run to. Hold on. We'll carry you through the break. Coming up next on the news schedule, First Amendment lawsuit of UT Austin's prohibition of speech.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Back. I don't know why, but this Friday is just flying by. Art, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
So anyway, you know, I do like to listen to Glenn Beck, and I listen to Rush Limbaugh. They're on early enough in the day that they don't interfere with Mike Rivero and you. So all day today, as I'm going about my business and tending to things that need to be tended to and listening to talk radio and all of that, I've had running through my mind, here we are. I don't know about any, I can't speak for anybody except myself. I got started on this path of political awareness and such as that a little over 20 years ago. I think you got a few years on me.
Mm-hmm.
But I got into this about 20 years ago. And, you know, I've seen as things have evolved and grown over the past couple decades, and as I'm sitting and I'm listening to the conversations over this past couple weeks, I'm noticing that I'm hearing the exact same things, the exact same comments, the same statements, the same arguments, the same everything that we were hearing 10 years ago. We were having the exact same conversations today that we were having 10 years ago. Meanwhile, we see France and other countries around the world that are just absolutely going completely off the chain. And I'm at this point, you know, physically
I'm losing it very quickly. My body is just shutting down. And I'm wondering, what is it going to take before we in America, a country that has known freedom, supposedly, for over two centuries, yet while our liberties hang in the balance, we sit by and we do nothing. While countries around the world that have never really known liberty as we've known it here in this country are going ballistic. What is it that we are not? What point are we missing here? Because I'll tell you what, John, as much as people hate to hear these kind of words, I'm one of those guys, and I'm not the only one out here. I am fed up. I am ready to get to kick this poop storm in high gear while I still have the energy, or just say, to hell with it, I quit.
And which your conscience can't allow you to do that, because refer back to the reasons why you got into this in the first place. And,
exactly.
And I truly believe this, Art, that a lot of people, they wouldn't care. A lot of people out there, they don't care about the history of their country. They don't care where it's at, and they sure as hell don't know what's coming at them. These are the people that I've had the same conversation with, the ex-wife's family members as well, is that, you know, so I'm taking this that you don't care, so you walk across the street, you see a tractor trailer hauling down the street, you see that you're going to get hit, so you just turn your back so you don't have to watch it happen, right? That's pretty much what you're telling me. It's going to happen regardless of whether you sit there with your eyes open or closed. But I think a good majority, at least the people I've been dealing with, you know, firing up the militias back in the 90s and talking with people around the country, there's this idea and this attitude that just let them go. We're ready for them. Now, in your particular case, Art, before you shuffle off this mortal coil, I think you'll see an action here or two that happens within the country. But I firmly believe that those out there that understand this republic, the reason why we have the Constitution, the reason why we have the Bill of Rights, blah, 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 and on and on, and that very same conversation you referred to that we're still having, it is one of education. So we're just sitting here on the cartridge box, the ammo storage depot, and we're just quietly waiting. In the meantime, I've encouraged people, you know, put the rifle in the backpack, away in the closet, you know, get the gun out, be proficient with it, clean it from time to time, and put it back in the closet. In the meantime, while peace, relatively peace, still reigns, you need to get active. You need to educate other people. And I think, by and large, that's what the people I've been talking to all of these years have been doing. So this is nothing that's taken lightly. Is the very thought of a restoration project in this country, maybe with guns, is that an attractive? No, it's going to be hard on the furniture and hard on families. I guarantee you that. And it's one of last resort. But I'm with you. You know, we've had talks of million man marches before, and let's all go to Washington, D.C. armed. Yeah, let's all descend on the nation's capital with the chicken crap politicians up there, and let's all go up there armed. How do you think that's going to turn out? So there's been ideas that have been floated, but more importantly, this is a force multiplier. One person talks to that next person that talks to that next person, and enough years have passed that I pretty much think that what we've got, the people that are willing to listen, willing to be patriotic enough to understand what true patriotism, what a great, I mean, think of this, Art. You could have been born anywhere on this planet. You could have been born in Zimbabwe or some rice paddy in China, but you were born here. I don't think that's any of an accident, and that's a heritage that we need not throw away. And we must preserve. You stay in good health, my friend, and you keep walking and talking, you hear?
I'll try, man.
All righty. Thank you. I appreciate your call, Art.
All right, you too.
Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
We are back. Greg in Colorado, you're up next. Hello, Greg.
Yeah. Hey, John, this is Greg, the White Rose in Colorado. How you doing?
Hi. What's on your mind?
I just got a couple of points I'd like to make. One about the word property. There's a reason why you can't own property. You can own a house, you can own land, but you can't own property. Because property, the term property, is a legal fiction construct in black law. Second thing I'd like to mention is the fact that here we are 18 years later, and this is getting back to what they're teaching in school, what somebody mentioned earlier about what they're teaching in school. My little sweetheart, 10-year-old, a friend's daughter who I babysit comes home. She shows me. She goes, "Grandpa Greggy, Grandpa Greggy." She says, "Look at this, what they gave me in school." So I read it. It's a paper written on both sides. You know, it tells the whole government lie about 9/11. So they're teaching 10-year-old children about 9/11, and every single word on that paper was a lie. I told her, I said, "My little sweetheart," I says, "see this piece of paper right here? Every single word is a lie, and it goes against the laws of physics." And she knows what the laws of physics are because when I first started babysitting her, I started teaching her about physics when she was like 3-4 years old. And so she knows all about physics. I said, you ask her what physics is, she'll tell you physics is the nature of things. And I told her, I says, everything the teacher told you is a lie. So just remember that. I told her, I says, don't say nothing to the teacher, because if you do, they're going to cause nothing but trouble for you. I said, just remember that Grandpa Greggy told you. Everything they told you on that piece of paper is a lie.
Now, Greg?
And I'd like to plug my website, if I can, when you get done commenting.
Yeah. What do you think the reason why the school is handing this out to 10-year-olds?
Got me. Propagandize them. Get them while they're young, you know.
Get them to learn a lie. Okay, but let's give this a little bit more thought, Greg. Why would a 10-year-old that really doesn't know squat from shinola, in general terms, why would they feel it was so important to propagandize the child at the age of 10? Because they're afraid of what?
Their higher-ups told them they had to do it.
Yeah. But you're missing the point here, Greg. Just as you're correct on the term property, and that is a construct, so you can be neatly melded into the corporation and their ways of doing business. You're absolutely correct.
Right.
But the reason why they're
legal fiction.
The reason why they're doing this is because the truth is out there, and they're trying to reconstruct the child's thinking just in case they encounter somebody, well, like yourself, that's there to tell the truth. So I would take that as a badge of honor. I would have been very proud to see the 10-year-old bring that home. Because that tells me that we're winning.
Yeah, showed it to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And made a point of showing it to me. Because I taught her all about physics.
All right.
And so I just like to plug my website. Please, everybody, go check out thewhiterose.simplesite.com.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you very much, John, for your time.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Have a good Christmas. John in Northern Michigan. Hello, John.
Hello, John again, my good friend.
How you doing?
Well, as someone brought up a Lodeo title, or you did, and then someone mentioned Lampatin.
Mm-hmm.
And up here in northern Michigan, we went wild with that back in the late 90s and early 2000, and just flipped the clerk out here in our county with all of the filing that we had to do. And it is true that you have to have no liens against your property, and that the department, or HUD, Housing and Development, they're the people that supposedly own it or have possession of the land patent. And it was explained to me at one time by our acquaintance, Kent McNeil, who's since passed, and he was very important in getting this action started in this county. And it was they were just inundated with people going for their patents. And then one other aspect of property is your car, your vehicle. There's a certificate of origin from the manufacturer that the dealership takes, and if you borrow on it, they send it to your capital, and they hold the title, and it's their vehicle. Now, once you have, if you pay it off or if you get it paid off, you can go to your capital, to the Secretary of State office, I believe, who holds it, and get your get it back into your ownership. And again, going back to our friend Ron McDonald, they own it all, including you. Everything is done with the script of the Federal Reserve, and you can't pay off something with debt. And so there might be some issues with that. And I've heard that gold or silver will counteract that issue if it becomes one. So I just wanted to get that out and let people know that you can go get possession of your land.
You know, a lot of time has passed since I've been in Michigan, and I remember meeting Kent. He didn't strike me as being a particularly frail individual. What did he die of?
I think he had a heart attack, but it was suspicious because his reputation was being torn down, and he avoided going to meetings because everyone in this area, cities apart, were wanting him to come and explain to them, you know, the real power of the commissioners and other bureaucracies. And he was very knowledgeable. He became a legal beagle or a lawyer. He didn't go with the bar, but he did it all online. He was very sharp. He was also an assassin in Special Forces. And he told me at one time that he was supposed to take out Noriega, but that Bush went down there and arrested him before that took place. So, but Kent was really, really powerful up here in northern Michigan and getting so much out.
Yeah, I remember talking with him and working with him, and this thing about the United Nations new definition of wetlands and working with him and having him on air and discussing the issue. Let me ask you this. With the Lodal titles that were put with the clerks, how many of those went through, and are people that did that, are they still paying property tax?
I could do some research on that. I know a friend of mine split his property, and when you do that, that would be that's the time when you do it. If you've already paid, gone through the process of buying it and registering it with the county or the township, whoever holds the paperwork. But I know he split his and got his patent. I can talk to him about it and out exactly.
Let me know. I'd be very interested in a follow up on
that. Well, I think right, and I think one case that people can check out is Howard Hughes in California. They tried to, I think, condemn his property, and he got possession of his land patent, and they had to build around his factory. I think that's a story that might have some truth to it.
The Howard Hughes?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. They were trying to condemn his property, and with the condemnation powers that they supposedly have. And I believe he went and got his land patent. I'll look that up on the internet.
Well, I appreciate this.
It's a very good thing, and it gives hope to people. And the gentleman sounded really frustrated, and especially the one coming back, talking with his 10-year-old from the school systems. They are very dysfunctional. We're in the third or fourth generation of what they presented in the 90s. And again, I bring this up, that the parents of that are 40 years old now went through the first round of this really deceptive, damaging program curriculums, and now they think that that's a norm for their children.
Yeah, unfortunately. It's time for a national wake-up call. John, I appreciate your call, my friend.
Hey, God bless you.
You too.
Take care.
All right. Daniel in British Columbia. Hello, Daniel.
Yeah, hi there, John. This gentleman with the giant as big as the state of Texas, middle finger. This guy's my new hero. Everything's big in Texas.
Well, unfortunately, he's from Vermont, but I get your drift.
This is, this is the sign of the times. It literally is.
Yeah.
And you know what's that saying with the you put a frog in boiling water, he's going to jump out.
Yep.
But if you turn up the heat slowly, he's going to. You know, he's going to boil to death. Well, mm-hmm. I don't know. Look at these yellow vest protesters in France. I mean, those frogs over there in France, I mean, they got the heat turned up too hot, and look what happened. These globalists, they go down all the way to a municipal level. They're all on the same page.
Yep.
I was going to talk to you about Vincent Finelli. I just discovered him through your channel, and he's amazing. I think you should try and talk to him about getting you on his broadcast one day, or maybe.
We have, but I have a real problem with joining him for his morning show because it's too damned early for me. The old Stadtmiller curse is once you're awake, it takes you an hour to fully gain consciousness. There's something that happens with our metabolism that it takes almost a full hour to gear up. But I've been on a show before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe you can introduce him to Harley Schlanger too, as well. Maybe.
Well, we're gonna have some time. I invited Steve Elkins up there, of course, with Vinny's approval. Steve, if you're listening to the program today, you really need to get up there. Go buy your ticket, my friend. Do it now. At any rate, enough of the pitch to him. But Vinny, we did have his show rebroadcast 1 to 3 in the afternoon. Well, you see what we've got there, but he's on the network from 6 a.m. until 8 a.m. Central Standard Time.
Yeah, no, he's both of you guys are amazing. So anyways, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and to all the listeners out there, it's time to fill RBN's stocking this year. You're going to do what you can,
We would appreciate it. It's not been a good year. it's not been a stellar year down here in Central Texas.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, John.
Thank you. I appreciate your call. Take care, Daniel. Fritz in the Ozarks. Hello, Fritz. Fritz.
How you doing?
Hey.
I've been listening. And I'm surprised that the man from the underground, Art from the underground, is listening to Jeff Beck, Glenn Beck. I thought he was dead.
No, Glenn's still alive. He just went through some troubling times when he got thrown off of Fox, and he tried to reinvent himself. He tried to take his radio program in different directions, and I think that it was kowtowing to the powers that be. Look at me, I'm Glenn Beck. I'm malleable. And what he did
was... Well, I remember...
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it screwed it all up, in my opinion.
I remember when he was slamming Ron Paul 11 years ago, and so he's been dead to me ever since 2007. But I guess everybody's got I listen to AJ sometime, but it's strictly for entertainment purposes in the morning when I'm cleaning the house and stuff. on the school thing that one of your callers just mentioned, that since the 90s. The kids have been fed BS, and I would beg to differ. My parents were born in 1923, and by the 1930s, my parents were being heavily propagandized. But to the point that when I was in school, they were already full sheeple. They were 100% sheeple by the 50s, and then. What was the other point I was going to make? Gosh, I didn't make notes, John, like you always tell me.
I always tell people, make crib notes. Did you hit your bullet points so you make sure you don't forget anything? But while you're reconsidering the point you forgot, in reference to your statement about propagandizing, there is a reason. And people hear me say this and they just go, oh, okay, well, that's just John. That's okay. But they don't put a lot of weight to it. And literally, the communists that have been working inside and subverting our system, eating it away like a cancer, this was high on their priority list to capture those minds of mush out there, as Rockefeller just once said, that we need to mold these young minds. Well, mold them with the Marxist philosophy is what we're discussing here. But it wasn't that prevalent. And the parents, still, we had parents. We didn't have so many single-parent families now. But it was still okay. I grew up during the 60s. I was born in the 50s. My formative teenage years were the 60s. But I had enough, even from the public school and from my mother and relatives, it was more old school than it was anything else. In other words, it had not been bastardized to the point of non-recognition. So
yes.
The law that one of the Marxist little laws here is to use free public education to be used as a transmission belt for the state propaganda, and that's exactly what they're doing. First, they eliminated that adherence to our country, our history, our true history, and the reasons why things are the way they are, why the law is and the Constitution is, all of that stuff, that was first eliminated. And then there was this vacuum, and they were just fooling around and just, you know, doing little ABCs and whatever else, but continually lowering the standard, not to press and not to embarrass that student if they got a question wrong, God forbid. But then they started in with the full-blown propaganda. As you just heard a guy from Colorado say, a 10-year-old brought home, here's what really happened on 9/11. They're doing this out of fear. That's how well this message has been sent. Not just about the schools, but vaccines, about the Federal Reserve. Go down the laundry list. They're acting out of fear.
Well, continuing, yes, you're right. I mean, but you know, I think about my grandfather who was of good German stock, and he was goaded into going over to shoot his brothers in Germany in 1918. He got shot in the head. And then all the kids, you know, in my parents' age who were tricked into going over to fight a worthless war in the 40s. And right up to this morning when I turned on, I like to listen to the enemy broadcasts in the morning, you know, and this morning it's all about how Mr. Trump paid off the hookers with the hush money.
Yeah.
And then I looked it up to see, because they were talking about, you know, Cohen pled guilty. And Cohen was not charged with anything related to election laws. He was charged with tax fraud and
lying.
Illegal contributions,
yeah.
And so on. Yeah. And they're trying to spin it. So they do it every day. And I remembered what I was going to say. It was about the land patent. Now, I obtained a copy of my land patent from the government, and it's got their seal on it, and I didn't get it from HUD. I got it from the BLM. So this gentleman that called, I don't know, maybe the HUD owns it and the BLM just holds the files, but I got my copy of the land patent from the BLM. So I don't know if that's exactly
okay.
accurate.
And Fritz, let me ask you, are you still paying property tax?
Well, I never, you know, I didn't follow through. I never updated it at the county. But, you know, I've got a new county recorder's coming in January. And I met her over the summer at a church picnic.
Mm.
And so I'm going to be, and in Missouri, there is a statute that says the patent can be filed, you know, in the recorder's office.
Well,
so
Fritz, Fritz, do me a favor. Keep me posted on your progress on it, will you?
And the other thing that I've been doing, listening to Al Whitney, I print without prejudice UCC 1-308 right on my checks with my printer, right under my signature name. So when I pay my taxes, it says that. Now, here's what's interesting. I haven't gotten my tax bill yet this year. I got my personal property tax bill. And I'm not going to fight him on that because my personal property tax bill is $10, but because I have two old cars. But I haven't gotten my real estate tax bill yet. I'd like to think it's because of those checks I've been feeding them, but I don't know. Maybe they just forgot. Maybe they're trying to catch me in a trick bag.
Maybe there is a Santa Claus, and the reason why you're not getting a tax bill is because, well, now they know that we've got one here that can see.
Well, I have a property in St. Louis County. I lived right down not far from John Moore, but I'm a St. Louis County boy, and I moved down here to get out from under that mortgage. This house, this cabin is paid for, and the house in a little blue-collar neighborhood up there is not paid for, so I moved down here 8 years ago and rented the house. But the last couple of years, I've been paying them with that check, and you know what they do, though, in the county? They don't submit the check. They just submit they do it electronically. They submit the routing number and throw the check in the trash can.
Yeah.
So I don't have that check as evidence, you know, with a endorsement on
well,
the back.
Well, I think by law they still have to give you a reasonable facsimile of the check, and generally it's done and it's shrunken way down to like 1/5 the size, but
well, they should be.
Yeah.
So this year I'm going to do it in person. When I'm in town for Christmas,
good.
I'm going to go up there, and I'm going to ask them to, if they, it's fine if they want to file the check electronically, but I want them to stamp it and return it to me.
Yes.
Canceled, you know, or
that
or,
is my receipt.
Endorsed.
Yeah. All right, Fritz, yes. I appreciate it. I got one more I need to snag. Thank you very much for your call, and let me know how that works out.
Sure will. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Mark in Florida. We'll make you the last call of the day. Hello, Mark.
Oh, thank you, John, and rest in peace, Mark Scott, ESX Makina. John, I wanted to, what's boggling my mind is when people say when you buy stuff with Federal Reserve notes, you don't really own it, like my underwear, my shorts, and my car.
Okay. I don't know if your underwear has title, but no, I get what you're trying to say.
Well, I don't own it. I bought it with a Federal Reserve note. That also means that how could the state or Uncle Sam or anybody else claim ownership or control of it if it was bought with a Federal Reserve note?
Well, everything is negotiated with the Federal Reserve thing. And, you know, and thank you, Italy and Greece and those countries that, well, they were right up against the IMF, having severe money troubles and cash flow over there. And the banks did us a great favor. The IMF did us a great favor. On the issue of bailouts for them, they were more than willing to take the money from the governments to shore up their shady business practices. But they also demonstrated something else to us, that in fact that we can do bail-ins using depositors' money as if it were our own, because it is.
That's why I clean mine out every month. I leave the minimum in.
Yep. And I suggest everybody do the same thing. I just had the distinct displeasure to be in the Chase Bank the other day and asked the manager, did you ever get a reason why my account was canceled? No, I didn't, and they wouldn't tell me. And I said, well, you know, by law, if it was federal inquiry, you know, whatever agency it was, that I have the right to know that. And she says, yeah, you do. And I said, so I can say that it wasn't the Fed. We can all agree on that. But what was the reason? They said, she said they wouldn't tell me. But she did wish me a Merry Christmas as I exited the bank.
Awful kind of her.
Awfully kind.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome, sir. And you know what? I didn't even get a chance to get around to the First Amendment lawsuit challenge. this is going to be a good one, because the case is shaky at best. And what it is, it's University of Texas and their prohibition of speech that's offensive, biased, uncivil, or just plain rude. Wow. It's the thought police thoughtfully looking out for our, how should I say, our well-being. Well, tell you what, I'm going to be well when people get out of everybody else's business. You know what I'm saying? Thank you for being here today, folks. Rejoin us Monday with another edition of the National Intel Report. I'll be live Monday through either Wednesday or Thursday of next week, and then I am taking something I have never done. An actual planned time off. Holy mackerel. I'm not sure I'm not going to know how to act. But I'll be doing some programming from Vinny's house up there, so I'm not going to be totally off the airwaves. But I need a nice, deep cycle recharge of ye olde batteries. And I can't think of a better place to do it than with Vince and his family. All righty, that'll do it. We'll see you Monday. Thanks for being here today.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc.
See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsite.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.